Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. I love that song she just sang. It's why I came, right?
Amen.
For the unfaithful, for the broken, for the sinners. He came to heal the sick, physically and spiritually. And his miraculous healing of sick people was to show his power to heal the sickness of sin. And that's what we all need. So praise God for his goodness. Over the last few weeks, we've been trying to gain a greater understanding of who the king is, the one who was born king. We looked at Old Testament prophecies and New Testament fulfillments and tried to understand those things deeper. We've tried to dig a little deeper into the genealogies that so many times we just kind of read over. We've tried to understand those better, and there's certainly much more to dig into in all of it. We've tried to look at his greatness so that we could better understand how far he condescended to be our Savior. He is so much higher and greater than we can understand.
Amen.
And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for us. And so today we've been looking at who he is. Today we're going to talk about how he was born. And that's exactly what Matthew says here in Matthew 1:18. If you're able, let's stand together as we pray, and then we'll read our text. In order for us to know him the right way, we have to know who he is, and we need to know how he came into the world. And so let's pray, and then we'll read our text. Father in heaven, thank you for all who have gathered to worship you here today. Be with our brothers and sisters who are not able to be here. Please bless and help them. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading and preaching and teaching of your word today, that Christ will be magnified and that you will be glorified. I pray you'll help me, Lord. I am nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. So we pray for your help, for your spirit, to help us to rightly divide the word of truth, to give us teaching and understanding of your word, and may it change us today. And Father, if anyone here or watching online has never trusted in Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in Christ alone with all their heart, call on your name and be saved. And Lord, for all of us who are saved, that we would take whatever the next step is for us, whether someone needs to be baptized or officially join with this body of believers in this church or whatever it is, God, I pray that your spirit will work in our hearts and help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. We don't really talk like that much anymore. What it means is this was the manner of his birth, or we might just simply say how Jesus Christ was born.
Amen.
And so Matthew wants to explain to us how the king was born. I told you Matthew focuses a lot on that as the kingship of Jesus. He wants his readers to understand that he is the promised king. And here in this verse, he says a lot to us. Look at this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how Jesus the Christ was born. Now maybe you already know this, but I didn't for a long time. I thought Christ was Jesus's last name. As it turns out, it's not his last name. They didn't really use last names back then. They didn't really use last names really until pretty modern in history. Jesus isn't, his last name isn't Christ. He is the Christ. It is a title of his. And what Matthew's already doing is identifying Jesus as Messiah. He's saying Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the sanctified and holy one, Jesus the one who's been promised in all of the Old Testament to be the Savior of the world. That's who we're talking about. And he says, I want to tell you about how Jesus the Christ was born. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that's really important, before they came together, that's really important, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ was after this manner. This is how Jesus was born. The Virgin Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He wants to tell you about his birth. He starts with her conception. Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And what he's trying to tell you is that Jesus Christ is the promised seed of the woman. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when God says the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel. The first gospel is given all the way back then in the garden after the fall of man, and it would be the seed of the woman. Now, we try to keep things King James here, and we want to make sure that we're careful in how we talk about stuff, but the truth is, it's vital that you understand that Jesus the Christ is virgin born. It's absolutely essential. And there are a lot of people, even in supposedly Christian circles today, there are probably pastors standing up today telling you that it doesn't matter whether he was virgin born or not. But the scriptures could not be more clear. It's absolutely vital that we understand that he is virgin born. And then some genius likes to come along and say, well, that's not possible. It's exactly. It's not possible. That's why it's called miraculous. God did something. He went around a man. He went around a man, and he brought Jesus into the world through a virgin. That is miraculous. You're right. It's not possible. That's why it had to be something that only God could do. The Virgin Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. She was found with child, but not just any child, child of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is that promised seed of the woman. He is the virgin-born Son of God. And people like to say, well, that word for virgin could just mean young lady. And there are times in certain contexts where the context is clear that it may be talking about just a young woman. But Matthew makes sure his context is clear that he's not just talking about a young woman. Look at verse 18. Mary was espoused to Joseph. What this means is they were legally bound to each other. They were legally, we would say, even married, but they had not physically come together as husband and wife. Mary miraculously conceived before they came together as husband and wife. That's what he's saying. So in those days, it was a lot different than the way we do things today. We do things really way different today. But here's the way they did it. You got a spouse. That means that you had a legal binding contract of marriage that was arranged by the fathers. Amen. Some dads say amen. Where's all the girl dads in here? Come on. I'm ready to bring this back. Don't let that girl go out there and find some knucklehead. You find a good godly man for them. I'm just saying. It's bad, though, because nobody's good enough. No offense to all you know, boy dads, moms. So, I'm sorry. Completely got derailed. They would be espoused. There would be an arranged marriage. There would be money exchanged. That's the part I don't want to bring back. With that girl, you had to give a dowry that had to go with her. But there would be a contract, there would be money or goods exchanged, there would be a legally binding. They were married by law, but they were not come together to consummate their marriage. They had not come together as husband and wife for usually 9 to 12 months or sometimes even longer than that. And it was a testing period, it was a proving period to show their purity. It's the whole purpose. And so in that waiting period, while Joseph is busy getting things ready to make a home for his wife, to come and be with him physically, he's getting all that ready, she's found with child. Amen. Now, when he finds out that she's with child, he doesn't know that it's with the child of the Holy Spirit. And so because he's a just man, he's going to have her put away privately. Now, that's not the way the law prescribed it to be. This is the way the Jews had modified the law and found a way to do it. And so they had modified the law to say, listen, you can put her away privately. You can divorce her privately, secretly, without anybody knowing, and you can put her away, and nobody has to know all about it or why it happened or anything. But under the law, do you know what would happen? He would divorce her publicly, and she would be stoned. And if the guy who was involved in that pregnancy outside of wedlock was found out, they would stone him to death too. So this was serious business, right? So she was found with child, and he was going to, because he is a good man, he's going to put her away privately. He's not going to make her a public spectacle, and he's not going to have her killed. He is going to put her away privately and let her go her way. He's going to go his way. But while he was thinking on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and lets him know, Joseph, by the way, he's a son of David. That's important too, right? Remember the genealogies? Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Mary was the virgin prophesied in the scriptures. And he says, the angel says, all this was done so that it would be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So she was espoused. It was before they came together. He says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in the Old and New Testament, a virgin shall be with child. It says that he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. If we go over to the book of Luke chapter 1, we find some things like this. Look at Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So again, both Matthew and Luke are working really hard to make sure that you understand that this person was a virgin. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he tells her that she's going to conceive. Stay right there in Luke 1. Verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen? How can I conceive? How can I be with child if I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 37 again, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Isaiah, a virgin can't conceive and be with child. Matthew, a virgin can't be with child. Angel Gabriel from the presence of God, a virgin can't be with child. With God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And just in case you don't believe this, let me go ahead and give you a sign, even though you didn't ask for one. Mary had great faith, by the way. Amen. You didn't ask for a sign, but I'm going to give you one anyway. Elizabeth, your cousin, your relative, she, in her old age, is pregnant, Amen. Which is absolutely impossible. And she is. She's 6 months along. Amen. So the Virgin Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. This is the the way, this is the how, this is the manner of his birth. When Matthew sets out to say, now I want to tell you about how Jesus the Christ came into the world, he says his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So here's the manner, here's the how. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. And it's absolutely critical that we understand this. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? In Luke 2, he goes on to say, his espoused wife being great with child. Again, they just keep pointing to the fact that she had not been with anyone. It was miraculous. Mary conceived, and she was with child, and she brought forth a son. Jesus was fully human at conception. Amen. Now, I tell you, I can't talk about this without talking about one of the biggest issues in our world today, and that's the issue of abortion. People want to argue all the time about whether a baby in the womb is actually a living human being or not. Now, all of these people who tell us that we ought to trust the science don't trust the science when it comes to this issue. So just for those people who don't want to believe the Bible, let me tell you what science says. This is the American College of Pediatrics answering the question, when does life begin? And it says, and I quote, life begins at conception. The predominance of human biological research confirms that human life begins at conception, fertilization. At fertilization, the human being emerges as a whole, genetically distinct, individuated, zygotic, living human organism, a member of the species Homo sapiens, needing only the proper environment in order to grow and develop. The difference between the individual in its adult stage and its zygotic stage is one of form, not nature. Life, individual human life, begins at conception. Amen. Conception and fertilization, there's some details there you can argue about all you want to, but at the end of the day, when the male sperm and the female egg come together, a human being is formed in that moment. Amen. Now that's science. And I've had Christians come back at me and say, where does the Bible say that life begins at conception? And my answer is to point to the story of the birth of Jesus. Amen. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. The Bible points to conception. Amen. Conception is the word. It's the Bible word used. So for those who don't want to believe the Bible, science backs up this fact because it's biblical fact. And just as a side note, I don't think you ought to believe me because I read you something out of a science book. I think you ought to believe the Bible. Amen. Mary conceived and she was with child. Amen. She wasn't with tissue or a clump of cells. She was with child. Amen. And while I'm on my soapbox, the only difference between a baby and a fetus is whether the mother wants to keep it or not. Amen. Because every woman who gets pregnant and wants to have a baby says, we're going to have a baby. And those who want to dehumanize and murder their babies say it's just a fetus. And it's heartbreaking because the word fetus is just the Latin for small child. Okay. I can't believe it's a question. I can't believe it's a question. But here's what's amazing to me. There are people in our country today and people who claim the name of Christ who will say to you, that just because it's a living organism doesn't mean that it has value. It's not a person yet. It's not a person because it can't think. It's not a person because it doesn't have will. It doesn't have volition. It's not a person because it can't survive on its own. Can you imagine what kind of world we would live in if we treated every person like that? Amen. Somebody's in a coma. Well, they don't matter anymore because they can't think. We got some babies in the room right now. You take a 10-month-old and you put them in a house by themselves and you don't take care of them, how long are they going to survive? There are some grown men in this room. You take them and put them by themselves without their wife to take care of them? Sorry. Y'all got way too excited about that. You know, you say stuff, you never know how it's going to be received, but that went way too well. I'm just trying to tell you that just because somebody needs some help to survive doesn't mean they don't have value. Amen. I'm trying to tell you that just because somebody is very small or very young, it doesn't mean that they don't have value. Amen. And just because somebody can't survive in the environment they're in without some protection, without some help, doesn't mean that they don't have value. Every human being has intrinsic value and worth because they are human beings. And they become a human being at the moment of conception. And since I'm already gone all the way down this trail, let me just say this. I know everybody says you don't care about the life of the mother, you don't care about the life of the brother. And if you know me at all, you know that that can't possibly be true. If there's ever a situation where a woman's life is literally in danger, then there are situations like that. They are exceedingly rare. Amen. Exceedingly rare. And there are trauma doctors who have to make decisions, life and death decisions like that all the time. Right? Amen. Listen, EMTs roll up on a car accident and they've got multiple victims. Sometimes they have to make hard decisions about who to help and who to not help. Okay? Buddy tracking? But the cases of a woman being pregnant where the choice is I have to save one or the other, those decisions do have to happen sometimes. But listen to me. It is never, listen to me. You never have to decide we better kill the baby so mom can live. That's never a decision. You may have to deliver the baby, but you don't have to kill the baby. And people don't seem to understand when we're talking about abortion, what we're talking about is intentionally killing a human being. You can deliver the baby, you can take the baby out of that situation to give mom a better chance, but you don't go in and kill the baby. Amen. You want to know more about it, you can talk to me about it later. God help us. Amen. To be a nation that loves all life. Amen. From conception to natural death. Amen. And we don't intentionally take the life of any innocent human beings. The Virgin Mary conceived, and she was with child. The next thing I want you to notice, when Matthew wants to talk about how Jesus came into the world, he says, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the Virgin Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit, which means Jesus is the Son of God. It means Jesus is God with us. We read Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. And when we have the explanation in the New Testament, Matthew translates for him, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. Aren't you thankful today that God decided to be with us? Because we couldn't go to him. There's no way for us. We have sin that has separated us. Death has separated us. Our sins have separated us from God. We cannot go to him. Amen. There's only one way to go to him. Amen. And it's through the one who came to us. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So the only way for us to get to God the Father was for God to come to us. God came to be with us. Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In Luke 1, we read, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. She says, how can that be? He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I read a little while ago from Luke 2. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, amen, which is Christ the Lord. There is only one Savior, amen, only one God, amen, only one God and Savior, and he is our Lord Jesus Christ. We spent some time on Wednesday night looking at Philippians chapter 2, and going back to Isaiah 40 and just looking at some stuff. And I mean, you could look everywhere. You need to understand that Jesus Christ, we sing about his lowly birth. And it was lowly, wasn't it? Amen. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. My best understanding of that is like a food trough. Right? Amen. Probably one carved out of stone. Usually in our manger scenes, it's made out of wood. But realistically, that where Jesus was laid was probably a cave-like structure or maybe a stable, but it was probably like a little cave. And it was probably a carved-out stone trough that he was laid in. Can any of you imagine that? Taking your newborn baby and putting him in a food trough? Anybody? Can you even think of that? Like, I remember when Abigail was first born, we didn't want anybody to be near her unless they bathed in, like, hand sanitizer. Do you guys remember? The first one's different. By the time Maggie came along, it's like, it's fine. But, I mean, we didn't know anything, and we got this newborn baby, and we're like, you better sterilize before you come in. I'm, like, checking them at the door with the thermometer. I'm going to need you to put these gloves on, wear a mask. Like, we were so worried somebody was going to disease our child. I can't even imagine being in there where the animals live and putting my baby in a food trough. That's how low Jesus came for us. But he is the high and mighty, almighty God. When the angels sang glory to God in the highest, they're saying the high above all high. We're saying the one who is above all things, the king that is above all kings, the Lord that is above all Lord, the creator who spoke everything into existence, the one who by the word of his power holds all things together, the one who created all things and by whom all things consist. We're talking about the almighty creator of the world. This is Jesus. He's born of the Holy Ghost. And when you saw Jesus, you saw God. Amen. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Jesus Christ was God with us. And I want to give you some good news today. Do you remember how despondent the disciples were when Jesus died? I mean, they had given up. Amen. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Jesus disguises himself and comes and walks along with them. And he's like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, they're like, have you been living under a rock? You don't know what's going on in Jerusalem? And he's like, no, tell me. And they start telling him. They're telling Jesus about himself, right? Amen. They don't know that it's him. He's disguised himself to them somehow. But they're like, well, our master, our rabbi, Jesus, we thought he was the Christ. We thought he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But they killed him. They killed him. And then his body's missing from the tomb. And we don't know what's happened. And they are just heartbroken. And Jesus says that they were of little faith and slow in heart to believe. And he said, don't you understand that Messiah, the Christ, had to come and suffer these things? And beginning with Moses, he explains the scriptures. He expounds the scriptures to them of the things concerning himself, so that their hearts burned within them. But they were heartbroken, guys. They were devastated because their Messiah was gone. And then they knew him in the breaking of bread. And they went from being completely devastated, depressed, disheartened, ready to quit, to being so excited they ran all the way back to Jerusalem. Right? They were overjoyed because they saw him and they knew he was still alive. And for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples at different times. And then he ascended up into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, the angel said, men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you will come again in the same way. But before all that, Jesus promised that when he ascended, he would send his Holy Spirit. And I want you to get this. We're not going to take the time to go read all of it, but listen to me. Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter. It's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the comforter won't come. And Jesus says this, I will come to you through his Spirit. What's the point? He is still God with us today. He's still with you. If you repent of your sin and unbelief, and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves you, his Spirit makes you alive, and you are his forever, and his Spirit will never, ever, ever leave you. So I just ask you this morning, do you know that God's with you? You say, hey, well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so? Because the Bible says so. That's how I know. But I also know from experience. I know the moment I trusted Jesus that he changed me. Right. And his Spirit was with me. Amen. And his Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. How was he born? How did he come into the world? The Virgin Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and he's still with us today. And Jesus was born to save. What was the message that the angel gave to Joseph and Mary? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was born to die, but he died to save. And he saves all who believe. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this time. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move now as we close our service with a song, that we can respond in faith and obedience. Help us to trust and obey your word. I pray that everyone hearing my voice today has trusted in you, and if they haven't, they will. Even now, God, that they'll pray and ask you to forgive them and ask you to save them. I pray your Holy Spirit would give them the assurance that you have promised us, that we can know we have eternal life, that we can know that you're with us and you've saved us. And I pray that you help us to respond in faith beyond that. Not that we would just trust in you, but that we would live for the one who died for us and rose again. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this season. And Lord, help us to live for you today. Help us to respond in faith. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing what number?
Page 564.
564. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.